and you are listening to the Texas Standard. We are past the point of the pandemic where you couldn't find beef in your local grocery store, but the temporary scarcity created some new buying habits. After all, you can buy pretty much anything you want to online, so why not steak, right? Well, it's an option many are taking advantage of these days, and as the Texas Standard's Michael Marks reports, that could have a big impact up and down the supply chain.
Around the end of March, Chris Swenson thought he had a problem with his website. Chris is the head of Swenson Ranches, a Central Texas cattle operation that's been in his family since 1882. These days, direct-to-consumer sales are part of the business. So once a week, Chris updates what's for sale on the website.
You know, a list, you know, here's 10 sirloin steaks available, here's, you know, 50 pounds of hamburger, you know, whatever.
So he was doing that one evening, punching in all the latest inventory. But then he noticed that something was wrong. Each time he updated the site with a new item, the one he'd entered just before would go back to zero.
I'd say, oh my gosh, I must not update. I must hit the wrong button. I mean, I'm not a whiz at the internet stuff.
This kept happening until Swenson realized that the cause wasn't a glitch. It was demand.
People were waiting for us to put stuff up and were just ordering as soon as we put stuff up.
People were desperate to buy Swenson's beef. Before the pandemic, his direct-to-consumer business was pretty slow. You might get 5 or 6 orders per week around the Austin area. Post-coronavirus, that number jumped to over 70 orders a week, and he got calls from all over.
We had a couple from Florida want to know if we would, you know, drive a whole cow over to it. You know, just can't take that much time off.
Other ranchers who sell their beef directly to consumers experience similar spikes in demand. That's because the pandemic exposed weaknesses in the beef supply chain. See, there are lots of middlemen in the beef business. When a rancher raises a cow, they typically sell it to someone else who will fatten it up. That person sells it to a meat packer, which will butcher the animal, package the beef, and then send it to the grocery store. But over 70% of U.S. beef gets processed by just 4 big companies: Tyson Foods, JBS Beef, Cargill, and National Beef. Coronavirus outbreaks among their workers forced many of their plants to close, causing a beef shortage. Customers couldn't find beef in stores, and ranchers had nowhere to sell their cattle.
But that at least opened up everybody's eyes of, like, what the heck is going on? Like, are we really this dependent on these plants?
That's Don Thilmany, a professor of agriculture and resource economics at Colorado State University. And most ranchers are that dependent on those plants. But Swenson and others like him are an exception. They typically work with small local processors to butcher their cows and then ship directly to consumers. That effectively inoculated them from the pandemic's effect on the broader beef industry.
You know, the analogy everyone always wants to use is being an independent music label versus on a big label, or a craft beer versus a large format brewery. It's just, it's almost an entirely different business model.
Selling directly to consumers isn't necessarily more profitable, but ranchers have more control over their product. That's attractive for those who want to raise specialty cattle like Wagyu or grass-fed, or are unhappy dealing with the big meat packing companies. Ranchers have very little control over the price they get for their cows, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture is currently investigating price-fixing allegations levied at the big 4 meat packers. Still, even though the direct-to-consumer model has grown since the pandemic, it's still a very small portion of the overall beef market.
It takes a very unique and dedicated type of business person, because it's very multifaceted to do your own brand of beef, basically.
It's not easy. In addition to all the challenges that just come with raising cattle, you've also got to manage a website, do all the marketing, and get it delivered to the customer. Sure, you take the middleman out of the supply chain, but on the other hand, now you are the supply chain. Plus, getting a cow processed into cuts of beef takes special skills and equipment. Right now, the people who do that work are swamped. Josh Welsh runs a mobile processing service out of Huntsville called Pasture to Plate Processing.
I'm very busy. I'm working on average a 60 to 70 hour week.
Welsh started his business during the pandemic. He travels to customers throughout Southeast Texas, processing cattle and other animals on site. He's been successful so far, but the question is whether he and others in the beef industry who bypass big packers will be able to stay busy once the pandemic's over.
The standard processing system, as we know it, is never going to go away. But there will be a larger amount of people who will step away from it. And I think we're going to see more of small processors take off.
So while the direct-to-consumer model may be more popular on the other side of the pandemic, it likely won't disrupt the entire system. But a supply chain where smaller processors working with local ranchers have more market share might be more resilient than relying on colossal packing companies. For the Texas Standard, I'm Michael Marks.